We thank you, and we know that Vision Baptist Church cares about missionaries. I always think about that and how you guys take the time to read those update letters and pray for your missionaries. Your pastor's regularly in touch, and there's not too many pastors that really stay in regular touch with a missionary. And again, we know that many of them care about us and they pray for us, but your pastor will even write us about needs in your church here, and we'll pray for them, and I'll respond to him, let him know we're praying for those. And we're excited to hear about the great victories that God has been doing here at this church. And man, every time we come and go, what an amazing place, what an amazing facility God has blessed you with, and I know you're using it for God's glory. And we're very thankful for the Christian education going on here with the school. That's a huge, huge part of growing up those young people to love and serve God with their lives. Wonderful discipleship ministry. And then to hear about people getting saved, hear about people joining the church and the work continuing to go on for the Lord. God is still working in 2022. And you know, pastor's right. The world can be very discouraging, can't it? And the world is waxing worse and worse. Okay? The Bible told us that. Honestly, it should encourage us in the one sense that we know the Word of God is continuing to be true. But God's power is not waxing less and less. And that's what we must remember. We have to keep a joyful spirit, keep a good spirit. Let the Lord help us to speak the truth in love. And there are people all around us that are searching for the truth, and they're lost. And we're thankful in a dark place like Ethiopia that many people are coming to the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you a message I've entitled tonight, What to Do with the Gospel. Now, what would you expect a missionary to preach on, right? The gospel. The most important thing in all the world, the most important message in all the world is the gospel. Because there's only one gospel, and that gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want us to look tonight at just some very simple truths of what we need to do with this glorious gift, this most amazing gift that's been given to us of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I want us to start off tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read verse 1 through 4. We'll be looking at a number of different passages, especially in the New Testament, about the gospel. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, tells us what the gospel is. Now, if we're going to know what to do with the gospel, we need to know what the gospel is. So let's take a look, first of all, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. And then after I read this passage, we'll have a word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the preaching of his word tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, the Word of God tells us, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for Vision Baptist Church. I thank you for this lighthouse of the gospel. I thank you for a church that's continuing to reach out with your love to a world that is so lost and so in need of salvation. Lord, I thank you that salvation is available to all through Jesus Christ, that you love the whole world. No matter what we are, where we're from, Lord, if we're male or female, Lord, if we're Ethiopian or American, Lord, you love us the same and your salvation is available to all. So I pray, Lord, that you would give us a burden as never before to make that message known to a lost and dying world that needs you. Would you help us, Lord, to be bold and to be wise and to be loving and kind and to continue to share and not shun the truth, but to share the truth. And to continue, Lord, to allow your word and your spirit to work in hearts and lives as we're your faithful ambassadors. Would you help us tonight, Lord? Would you empty me of self and fill me with your spirit? Would you give me the words to say? Would you be glorified most of all, Lord, in everything that's said and done? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. Amen. That's the only gospel. Any other thing that's called the gospel is a false gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, gives us probably the most clear definition of what the gospel is. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the sins of the world. That's why the gospel is so important. Now, I want you to consider with me, why is the gospel so important? If it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the sins of the world, why is the gospel so important? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed. I don't care who knows that I believe the gospel, that I'm a follower of the gospel, that I'm following Jesus Christ. I am going to lovingly and passionately and boldly follow Jesus Christ, and I don't care who knows about it. I'm going to keep on sharing Christ. I'm going to keep on showing the love of Christ. I'm going to keep on doing what God has called me to do." And the Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." But he went on to say, in the last part, if you would, of verse 16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it," that's the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You see, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins, for the sins of the world. But the gospel is so important because it's through the gospel. The gospel is the only thing that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There is no other salvation found anywhere else. There's no one else who can save. And the good news of the gospel is that everyone that believeth will have salvation. Everyone that puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation will be saved. Amen. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," Romans 10:13 tells us. So as we look at Romans 1 and verse 16, we see not just what the gospel is, but what the gospel does. The gospel saves sinners. Amen. So if we know what the gospel is then, and we know what the gospel does, what are we to do with the gospel? So tonight I want us to look at three responsibilities from the Word of God that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, or as mankind, okay, as humans in general, of what we're to do with the gospel according to the Word of God. Take your Bibles over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and notice with me verse number 15. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15 tells us the message of Jesus. As Jesus traveled from village to village, healing and teaching and preaching, what was his message? Mark 1 and verse 15 tells us this. "And saying," Jesus saying, "the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent ye and believe the gospel. The first and most important thing you must do with the gospel is you must believe the gospel. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you've ever repented of your sins and turned in saving faith to Jesus Christ alone to save you, then please, my friend, do not leave here tonight without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Jesus came to save us from our sins when we could not save ourselves. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15 tells us our first responsibility with the gospel as mankind is we must believe the gospel. That's the most important decision you will ever make, is to choose to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. You know, I often meet with these very kind Ethiopian people, and people will come to our church and they fill out a visitor form. You know why they fill out a visitor form? Because we love them. We want to know how to pray for them, and we ask them if they have any prayer requests, and then we want to get their information. Why? Because we keep all those people's names in a file. And when we have a special Sunday or a special event, you know what we do? We go back through and call all those people again. You know why? Because God loves those people, and so do we. And if we're going to reach people, we're going to have to be organized in how we reach people. And we're going to have to do things so that they can come and hear the glorious gospel, the unchanging truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these people come and they fill out this form, and then often they may mark on there that they want to meet with a pastor, or that they want to know more about salvation, or they want to know how to become a church member. And then at the beginning of our church, I always just met with people. Brother Danny was just a young guy, just learning the ministry. Now Brother Danny will often say, I don't need you. And that hurts. No. That's a good thing. You know that? It humbles us, by the way. But it means the work's being accomplished. You know what Danny will say? I've already heard you share this a number of times, and Danny's a very smart young man. And now he's taking people and counseling people and reaching people and leading people to Christ himself without me there. At the first year or two of our church, I would always say it. He would translate it. But now he's picked up, and he can clearly share the word of God himself, and he knows even often how to counsel people. But I would often sit with people, and I still do, and counsel people as a pastor, and I'll sit with them. And the very first thing when I counsel people that I'm going to talk to them about is salvation. No matter what they say or in any statement or any form, I'm going to make sure that they know the Lord is their Savior. And I can't make that decision for them, but I want them to know the truth of the gospel. No matter what their other need in their life is, whether it's health or relational or some other need in their life. But often I'll sit with someone who's come to our church and I'll ask them, do you know the Lord is your Savior? And they'll say, well, yes, I know Jesus. And I'll say, oh, that's great. I said, how long have you been a Christian? What do you mean? I've been a Christian my whole life. I think when you were a baby, you were a Christian? Wow, that's pretty amazing. But you see, in their mind, as an Ethiopian, to be religious is to be Ethiopian. So from birth, you're assigned religion. From birth, you're Orthodox or you're Muslim. And the Orthodox would sometimes call themselves just Christian. And or you're Pente. And they think, many of them, again, it's just a lot of times based on their ethnic group or something else, they'll say, well, I'm a Christian. I've always been a Christian. And I'll have to take the word of God and show them, no, no one's born a Christian. You have to be born again. John 3 and verse 3 says, ye must be born again. And I praise the Lord. You saw some people in the video. You saw Brother Danny next to me, another guy that I just led to Christ. And time after time, we've been able just to lead people to Christ as they understand, oh, or they'll tell me, I was baptized as a baby. I was sprinkled. Or I go to church. Of course I'm saved. Or of course I know the Lord. And we'll come to find out they don't understand salvation. So I'll take the word of God and share John 3:16 and Romans 3:23 and Romans 5:8 and Romans 6:23, Romans 10:13 and many other scripture verses, often Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and Titus 3:5 and Romans 3:28 and many other scripture passages, and I'll show them from the word of God, which is our final authority, that the only way of salvation is not found because you're religious. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we praise God for many of these people that have come to know Christ as their Savior. And I have the privilege of seeing many of them saved and then getting to baptize them, and then see them go through learning the Word of God and growing as a new believer. That's one of the greatest joys, is to see someone who gets saved and gets baptized, and now they're getting discipled, and then some of them are going to Bible Institute, and they're being trained up to serve God. And it's such a joy to see people grow in the Lord. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. And there really is no greater joy. Of course, we want our own children to walk in the truth. But it's wonderful to see those that you've led to Christ and those you've impacted walking in the truth and growing. And now God's using them to reach their neighbors and their friends. And they're going out and reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you believed the gospel? You know, about a month ago, there was a man named Mesfin. He began to wander through our neighborhood. Now, if you know where our church is, we are way back in a residential neighborhood. There's no big sign back to our church. We have a sign on our church. But you don't find our church by accident. Someone has to guide you there, and we'll often guide people in or go up to the street and bring someone back in. So we're just right sandwiched between a number of other houses in a regular residential community in this house that God has provided for us. But this man, Mesfin, began to wander through our neighborhood about a month ago on a Sunday morning. And that morning, Mesfin had woken up with no hope. He said, it's hopeless. Mesfin was wandering through our neighborhood. I believe his name is Mesfin. He was wandering through our neighborhood, and he had determined that morning, as he was walking through our neighborhood, that he was going to find an empty building, and he was going to commit suicide. And that morning, as he was without hope, he happened to pass by our church. Now, God makes no mistakes. And so as this man walked by our church, he decided for some reason to come into the church. He said, I felt the love of God drawing me into the church. And he came in, he sat in the very back row, in the very back corner spot. And he began to hear the message that morning. The message that morning was from Mark, where we're going through the book of Mark, verse by verse right now. We're in Mark 14 this morning in our church in Ethiopia. And that message that morning was really about Judas Iscariot and also the lady who anointed Jesus' feet or Jesus' head. And it was kind of between a fake follower of Christ or a fake follower of God who thinks they're a follower and a true follower. And it was really focused on Judas Iscariot. Well, this man had grown up Orthodox, the most common religion in Ethiopia. It's a system of good works. They're trying to pray to Mary. They're trying to pray to the angels. They're trying to drink holy water. They have every single day as a different saint's day, every single day of the month. They try to go to a different church, and they're constantly trying to earn their way to God. But you can't earn your way to God because you're a sinner. You fall short of God's glory. The only one who can pay the price for your sins is Jesus, because he is God with us. But they don't understand that. They've been taught, and they'll tell you, well, we believe in Jesus. But then as you talk to them more, you find out, well, no, it's not Jesus only. It's Jesus plus my good works, plus Mary, plus the angels, plus the saints. And we say, no, Jesus paid it all. And so we'll explain that to them. We'll tell them, no, it is finished. But this man, someone else, by the way, had tried to witness to this man before. And he got up in our church that day at the end of the service and asked to speak for a minute. And he got up, never having been to our church. And Brother Danny said, okay, first time visitor. He says, can I say something? Oh boy, what's this going to be like? We don't know. But Danny felt God's peace to let this man speak. This man talked about his story. He said since COVID's hit, he's only worked 4 months. He's a heavy machine operator, educated man. But he cannot find work. He's put in application after application. He's got 6 kids. He's Orthodox. He was an Orthodox deacon, a very high-ranking position in that church, over 50 million adherents to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Ethiopia has about 120 million people. Very large country, Africa's second largest country. But this man had come in and he said, last time someone tried to share the message that you share with me this morning about the gospel, I beat him up severely. And he said, this morning I've realized that the God you worship is the God, basically, he said, that I worship. Now, he was a little bit confused because he still was not saved at that point. But God was working in his heart. And after the service, Brother Danny and a few of our other faithful men sat down in my office there at our church. And Danny said, for 40 minutes, I shared the clear gospel of Jesus Christ with this man. That you're a sinner. That the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way. Jesus saith unto them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they began to share, hey, it's not your religion that can save you. It's not all your fasting and prayers and you put Jesus in there somewhere. No, it's Jesus by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone that you can be saved. And that morning, about 40 minutes later, Mesfin bowed his head and trusted Jesus as his Savior. Amen. That's why we're there in Ethiopia. Because there's people all across Ethiopia, and by the way, all across the world and in your neighborhood, who are without hope. And the only true hope is found in Jesus Christ. And that will never change. He's the only way of salvation. He's the only one who can bring hope. And there's people like Mesfin who need to repent of their sin and believe the gospel. So the first responsibility we have to do with the gospel is we must believe the gospel. My question for you tonight is not, are you religious or are you in church or are you a good person? It is, have you repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you? I'm thankful that as a 5-year-old boy, the gospel's so simple that after hearing it many times growing up in a good Christian home, which didn't make me a Christian, I'm thankful I finally understood I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell and be separated from God. But Jesus paid the price for my sins. And I repented of my sin and believed the gospel. And I was saved at the age of 5. Some of you know my wife's story. My wife was not saved till the age of 24. She began to hear the gospel through listening to Christian radio. And you guys support Brother Sharp. I believe Brother Sharp, right? He has a ministry, amazing ministry with radio stations and so on. But my wife began to hear the gospel as a sinner in need of a Savior, and she began to hear the gospel through Christian radio. And it was through Christian radio that one day she pulled her car over at the age of 24, and she pulled her car over to the side of the road and repented of her sin and believed the gospel. You know, two different settings, two different ages, but the gospel is just as powerful to save at any age or any stage of your life. And it's never too late, no matter where you've been or what you've done. Jesus didn't come to save perfect people, or none of us could be saved, because none of us are perfect people. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. When did you believe the gospel? You see, salvation is the miracle of a moment. Now, discipleship is the process of a lifetime. And we want to continue to grow in grace. But salvation is not because of us. It's all because of Jesus. And all we have to do is take the gift of God. Have you received the gift of God tonight? The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even though the wages of sin is death, we deserve eternal separation from God. Don't ever say, well, I just want what I deserve. That's a foolish statement to make in our entitled society. I just want what I deserve. You know the only thing you deserve? Death and separation from God. That's the only thing I deserve. I'm a wicked sinner who needed the grace of God. And I'm thankful that God reached down and allowed me to hear the gospel. And I was saved and my wife was saved. I'm thankful all three of our sons at different times in their life have come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and all three of them have trusted Christ as their Savior. Jonan, our youngest, trusted Christ as Savior at the age of 5 in Idaho. We were on a furlough, our first furlough, and he was convicted. We had just finished reading a missionary biography about David Livingstone and his life, and how he gave his life to Christ, and Jonan had not yet trusted Christ. And he came to me late one night and said, Dad, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And Jonan that night, after explaining the gospel, trusted Christ as a Savior. He was 5. Joel, who's now 10, trusted Christ as his Savior when he was 7 years old during our first vacation Bible school in Ethiopia. And he came to me late one night, about 11 o'clock, just like Jonan. And he was actually crying in his bed. And Jonan, actually, our youngest son, Jonan, actually came to me and said, Dad, you need to come up and talk to Joel because he's crying. I think he wants to get saved or something. I think he wants to. Now, this is funny because Jonan did not know the Lord as his Savior yet at that time, okay? But Joel came. I went up to Joel and talked to him, and he was under conviction about his sin. And he'd heard the gospel day after day at Vacation Bible School, I think for 3 days in a row by that time. And Joel that night bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior at the age of 7. Jeremiah, our oldest, trusted Christ as his Savior in our RV on deputation. We were at a missions conference. He'd heard the gospel, and I was studying for a message about 11 o'clock at night. Are you picking up a theme here? All three of our boys came to me about 11 o'clock at midnight when they're in bed thinking about their need for a Savior. And Jeremiah came to me and, Dad, I need to talk to you. And I said, son, go to bed. I'm trying to study for the message tomorrow. I'm preaching. Okay, it's late. You should already be in bed. And he just climbed up on the bed and, Dad, I need to be saved. And I talked to him, making sure he understood after they both heard the gospel. And Jeremiah was 5 years old and he trusted Christ as his Savior. Why do I share that with you? Because everyone needs to know whether they've trusted Christ as their Savior or not. And it happens at a moment in time where you say, yes, God, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. The Holy Spirit's convicted you of your sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. And you repent of your sin and you turn to Christ alone to save you. Have you had that moment in your life? If not, I hope you'll make that most important decision tonight, just like Mesfin made just a few weeks ago there in Ethiopia. Now, a few weeks ago, another man walked into our church and heard the gospel. His name is Jonah. What a name, right? He's a grown man with a family. And he heard the gospel and he trusted Christ as his Savior. And the next week, you know what Jonah did? He brought his wife back with him and his 2 children. Just about 2 or 3 Sundays ago, he brought his wife and children back with him. And his wife trusted Christ as her Savior. Because you know what? After you believe the gospel, there's a second responsibility of the gospel. And we find that in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And I bet if you've been saved a while, you know what it is. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 tells us the second responsibility we have with the gospel. If you believe the gospel, now you need to preach the gospel. Now others need to know the message that you've received. Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus is now not at the beginning of his ministry like he was in Mark 1. He's at the end of his earthly ministry here during his first coming. And he tells us, and he said unto them, Jesus is speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is our responsibility, believers, to get the gospel to every creature. Every creature needs a preacher. That's the way I heard one pastor say it this last week, and I thought that was good. Every creature needs a preacher. Everyone needs to hear the message of the gospel. You know who God left to share the message of the gospel? Not the angels. Not the clouds. Not the stars, even though they do declare the glory of God. But God's called us to declare the gospel of God. And they may know in general, yes, there's a God and he's seeking after him, but now God wants to bring you across their path to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like Jonah said, hey, I have received the gospel a few weeks ago at our church, and he brought his wife back. He said, you know what? I want my wife to know the gospel. And he brought his wife back, and his wife received Jesus as her Savior. After we get saved, we need to share the gospel with others. There are now, as of November 2022, last month, according to at least some statistics, there are now, they believe, 8 billion people in the world for the very first time. You know, over 3 billion of those people have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel one time. Now, I've grown up in a great Christian home, going to a great independent Baptist church, listening to the Word of God. Every time the church doors were open, we got to go. And that's a blessing, by the way. If you're a child, you get to come hear the Word of God. Don't take that for granted. That's a great privilege and a great blessing. And to whom much is given, much is required. Now, what are you doing with the gospel? You know, I've literally heard the gospel thousands of times in my life. Thousands. Does that seem fair? That I've heard it so many times? Would it be right for me then just to say, well, I've received the gospel, I'm going to heaven? If I really understand where those who do not receive the gospel are going, what's going to happen to them, I should be doing everything with God's help and God's power to get the gospel to as many people as I can. And so should you. That's not just the job of the missionary. That's the job of every believer. To go in ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, in our video and on our prayer card, some of you maybe already picked up our prayer card. If you haven't, we hope you'll go by the table after and pick it up. But on the back of that prayer card and in the video, you saw me baptizing towards the beginning of the video an Ethiopian young man. That young man's name is Fikadu. Fikadu is a shoeshine boy. Very common for young men about his age. They call him a shoeshine boy. About maybe 13, sometimes even younger actually, sometimes even down to maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, all the way up to maybe in their 20s. We'll have these men, young men or these boys, come into the city, and they'll be on the street as you walk by the sidewalk, because almost everyone's walking on the sidewalk. And they'll have a little wooden box and maybe a little rag and a little bit of water, maybe a soap bar, and maybe a little bit of shoe shine. And they'll try to shine your shoes. They want to shine your shoes. And you'll often see people on the side of the street getting their shoes shined. And then you're going to give them 5 birr or 10 birr, which is about 10 cents U.S. or 20 cents U.S. for shining your shoes or cleaning your shoes. And they make a living trying to earn money for themselves and maybe their family back in the countryside doing this. Well, Fikadu got an invitation from someone to come to our very first service. I believe our very first service, or right towards the beginning. And shortly after that, I had the opportunity to lead Fikadu to Christ through a translator, through Brother Danny. And Fikadu was the very first Ethiopian that I not only led to Christ, but our church had just started and I was able to baptize him. And if I'm not mistaken, he was baptized on the same day. Is that right, Jeremiah? Right after, I think, our second Sunday of our church. Jeremiah got baptized. He'd been waiting to get baptized since he had gotten saved. And then Fikadu got baptized. Well, Fikadu found out, you know what? My friends need to hear this message of the gospel. And so Fikadu invited some of his other friends, and they came to church. And one of his friends came, and he said, this friend, he needs to know the gospel. And he needs to be saved. He wants to know about that. But there was a problem. His friend did not know the national language of Ethiopia, which is Amharic. He only knew the local language of our area called Oromifa. That's the largest ethnic group. There's over 80 languages, by the way, in Ethiopia. So I said, oh, wow, how are we going to do this? Okay, well, Danny knows Amharic and English. He's our translator. Fikadu knows Amharic. He doesn't know English, but Fikadu knows Amharic and Oromifa. And his friend knows only Oromifa. And he needs Christ. So we sat down, the four of us, at a table. And I took my English Bible, and I shared the gospel. And then Danny read the verses in Amharic, and he shared the gospel. And then Fikadu translated to his friend from the Oromifa Bible, and his friend trusted Christ as a Savior. You know what? Everyone deserves a chance to hear the gospel in their own language. But they won't know if we don't go. They won't know the truth of the gospel unless we go, unless we're obedient to go. For most of us, that just means not across the sea. That just means going across the street to give a plate of Christmas cookies and a gospel tract and say, hey, we have a great Christmas program on Thursday night. I think it's Thursday night. Would you come and see our kids do a wonderful presentation? You'll enjoy it. You'll have a great time. And I bet if they come on Thursday night, they're going to hear the gospel. You know what you're doing? You're looking for every opportunity to share the gospel so that people will come and they will feel the love of Jesus Christ. They will see the love of Christ in us. And then they will want that love for themselves. Everyone wants to be really, truly loved. You know, that's your greatest desire as a human being, I really believe, is to be fully known, and fully loved. All of us are far from perfect, and you know, what makes up a good marriage is that, you know, you both realize you're not perfect, but you both love each other through it. And you work through things, and you forgive each other, and you encourage each other, and you help each other. And that's what makes a good marriage, and that's why marriage is such an amazing gift from God. But the most important relationship you need is with God Himself. And that only happens as we're faithful to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. But even more so than preaching the gospel, I want you to see lastly tonight, our last responsibility that we'll look at tonight with the gospel is found in Philippians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, go over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians 1 verse 27 tells us, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now we need to strive together for the faith of the gospel because people need Jesus. And we want people to believe the gospel and we want to be faithful to preach the gospel. But I want you to notice thirdly tonight, our responsibility of what to do with the gospel is we must live the gospel. We must live the gospel or live out the gospel. I love the first part of this verse. I think often in this verse it gets overlooked, but I want you to see that first phrase. You know what it says? Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You know what the Apostle Paul's saying? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, act like it. If you say Jesus has freed you from your sins and has changed your life and has given you love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and meekness, and temperance, then are you living like it? The world doesn't want what you have if you're acting just like them. The world will only want what you have if they see there's something supernatural that they did not accomplish on their own. They react to things the way I don't react. When something goes wrong, someone does something to me, I do something back. But when someone does something to them, they forgive them and love them. That's not natural. You know what it is? It's supernatural. It's only through the Holy Spirit of God and being filled with the Spirit we can do that. And it's when the world sees Jesus in you that they want what you have. You know, I'm really the product. Now, I had to trust Christ as my Savior. But the reason I got to hear the gospel hundreds of times as a little boy and then receive Christ at a young age and come to that decision, I'll tell you why, is because of two soul winners. Two faithful Christians who said, you know what, God has called me not just to be a Christian or to be, you know, conservative or to stand up for these right things in this area. You know what they said? God's called me to live out the gospel in my life. The word conversation here, it means the way you live. It's not just talking about your words. It's been said that your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Have you heard that? That's kind of confusing. Let me break it down for you. Your life speaks louder than your lips. The way you live your life speaks louder to your spouse, to your children, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, than whatever comes out of your mouth. Now, what comes out of your mouth should match what comes out of your life, and it should be honoring to Christ. But we have way too many believers with their lips that are not living it with their lives. And so they're not making the impact for Jesus Christ they should make. Because they don't come across as being transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 tells us what? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That means if you say, I've been set free from my sin, but if we're still living in sin, we're not going to have an impact for Jesus Christ. You see, they have to see that something has changed. I'm so thankful that there was a young lady at a hospital working as a janitor. She was about 20 years old or so, in her early 20s. My dad was 18 years old. And she always seemed to be smiling and joyful and working hard. And even when she'd go through hard times, this lady would still be joyful. And my dad was going, what is wrong with this lady? She's always happy. She's always joyful. And this lady, Gail Verhaeghe, began to share the gospel with my dad. You see, my dad had religion. He grew up in church, but he did not have a relationship with Christ. He grew up in a church like many in that day. They go to church because that's what Americans did at that time. Everyone went to church on Sunday. But it was just a form of religion. He had never heard the clear gospel of Jesus Christ his entire life. But he found out, you know what? It's not religion that saves me or knowing about Jesus that saves me. I need to know Jesus personally as my Lord and Savior. And my dad at the age of 18 repented of his sin and came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Because a faithful, not missionary, but yes, she was a missionary, wasn't she? She wasn't a missionary, had a prayer card, and went to a foreign field. You know where she went? To the foreign field of her secular workplace, where there were a bunch of lost people, and she shined her light brightly. And you know where she's at today? She's still faithfully serving the Lord in our sending church, Lighthouse Baptist Church in North Tonawanda, New York. Over 40 years later, she's still shining her light for Jesus Christ. And she's one of the most joyful Christians you'll ever meet. And she's been through a lot of hard things, but she loves the Lord. And you can see Jesus if you know Gail Verhaeghe. We just got to see her a few months ago. And she's an amazing woman of God. I'm so thankful for her. She's the reason that I got to grow up with a Christian dad who loved the Lord and did his best to live for God and grow as a first-generation Christian. My mom was reached through a public high school friend. You mean if you have to go to a public high school and that's your only option, maybe you grew up in a home without mom or dad that could afford Christian education, or maybe they weren't even Christians, and you go to public high school, God can use you to be a witness in a public high school? Yes, he can. I'm thankful that in a public high school, there was a Christian lady who said, I want you to come to a special meeting going on at our church. And it was not on a night where my mom would normally go to her church, which was the Catholic Church. And she had never been to any church but the Catholic Church, but St. Mary's. But my mom went over that night and came back a second night to something called a revival meeting. And some guy called an evangelist got up that my mom had no idea what this was. And he said, religion can't get you to heaven. And he preached the Bible and said, Jesus is the only way to heaven. My mom had never heard that. And at the age of 18... my mom came forward and trusted Christ as her Savior, and she's never looked back since. So I'm really the product of two people, two Christians, a teenage girl at a public high school, and a young lady at a hospital working as a janitor that were not just saying they believed the gospel, but they were preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, and they were living out the gospel. That's the power of a godly witness. Are you letting God use you to reach others with the gospel? About a month or maybe 2 months ago, after, again, we were back here on our furlough, there was a lady that one of our men noticed as he came by our church. She was sleeping in the grass out in front of our church with her kids in a little grass patch. And they went over to her to find out, what's going on? Why are you sleeping here? And she told us the story how her husband had received a death threat on his life in the countryside where they lived, and he had immediately fled so he would not be killed. These are common, crazy stories, but common things we hear there in Ethiopia. And her husband had quickly fled, and she didn't know where her husband was. She could not find him now. After time, she had come to the big city of about 5 million people, Addis Ababa, and she had ended up, you think by accident, in front of our church, outside the capital city area called Legatafo. And so this lady, our church, you know what they began to do? They began to show the love of Jesus. They fed her and they fed her kids, and we made sure she had a place to stay that night. And then we invited her to come back the next day for our prayer program, and we were going to go out with the gospel as well. And she came back the next day after already hearing the gospel the first day, and another one of our ladies shared the gospel, and she bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. You know why? Because there are some believers there in our church in Ethiopia, and they're living out the gospel. If the gospel's really changed you, it's going to change the way you live. It's going to change the way you behave. It's going to change your attitudes, your actions, your behavior. And none of us are perfect, but we should all be growing. Growing to be what God wants us to be. I'm just a sinner saved by God's grace. And I praise God. I don't know why he would use me or our family, but we're thankful he is. But you know what? It's just really, like we often say, one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And that's really all we are. Hey, I can't feed you, but I can take you to the one who can. I can't give you life, but I can take you to the one who can pass you from death unto life. That's our job, believers. And we were so excited, by the way, to be able to reunite that lady. We were able to get a hold of her husband and pay for her taxi ticket for her and her family to be able to be reunited with her husband. And her husband was so excited to hear that she had heard the good news of the gospel and had come to Christ as her Savior. And you know what? That was all God. God brought that lady just like he brought Mesfin. I really believe if there's a church that loves souls and that's praying for God to bring people to their church, and not just to their church, but across their path, I really believe God will honor that prayer. If we're living in obedience, I believe God... When's the last time you prayed? I'll have to ask this question. When's the last time you prayed, Lord, bring people across my path this week, that are searching for the truth, and use me to be a gospel witness for you? There's people all over that need the gospel. A few days ago, I was in Walmart, that wonderful land of Walmart. A lot of interesting things going on in there. And I was in Walmart. Brother Tim knows about Walmart, right? And I was in Walmart, and we were getting some luggage, getting a few other things for our trip back to Ethiopia. And as I checked out, and there was a guy helping me with a price that wasn't matching what it said and all these things, you know what I got to do? I got to share the gospel clearly with the Walmart cashier. And then I got to invite him to go to church. He did not get saved that day, but you know what I did? I planted a seed. And you know what? You can plant a seed, you can water a seed, and God in his time can give the increase. Are you doing your job? Are you taking your responsibility seriously with the gospel? It's really pretty simple. What to do with the gospel? Believe the gospel, preach the gospel, and then live the gospel. Let's ask God to help us to be obedient to do what he's called us to do. And if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you know the Lord is your Savior, I don't know your background, your story of many of you, please don't leave here without talking to Pastor Schaefer or one of the other people here in the church and asking them, I want to know for sure that I have believed the gospel, that I know Jesus as my Savior, that I have eternal life. And they'll be happy to take the word of God and show you how you can be 100% sure you're on your way to heaven tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much.